Jamie Anderson, where is the Thunderbirds Blu-ray?
Wow.
Where is the Thunderbirds Blu-ray? Where is the Thunderbirds Blu-ray?
Right, Chris.
Where is the Thunderbirds Blu-ray?
Chris, hold your horses, because that and many other questions besides will be addressed in this edition of the Jerry Anderson Podcast.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Won't it?
Few. Maybe.
Yes, hello you. You're back again. So are we.
Yes.
So am I.
The Fab Trio.
It's been a while since we sat around this particular table. In this particular room.
That's right, yeah. But welcome to the Jerry Anderson Podcast. It is, if you will, a podcast about Jerry Anderson.
Yes.
That's probably the most accurate summary of this podcast I've ever heard.
Jerry Anderson, of course, being one of our most prolific TV and film producers, well, ever, really, certainly in the UK.
Mm. Yes.
That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 18 shows, 550 episodes.
Wow.
Yes. Three films. Feature films. Three-ish.
Depends how you count Crossroads to Crime, yeah.
I'm counting as a feature film, I'll have you know.
Well, that's four then.
So, coming up, well, I went on our wonderful Podstrons Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Podstrons. And I asked them for some relevant and irrelevant questions.
Irrelevant or irreverent?
Well, a bit of both, perhaps.
Good.
So we'll be getting some of those later. We'll also be getting, Chris, some questions about the
Thunderbirds Blu-ray set. Yes, we opened a thread on the Jerry Anderson Facebook page.
And regretted it immediately.
Well, yes and no. 70 comments, I believe, on there. Yes. The last time I recorded.
Is that all?
Well, yes. I mean, some of them were people arguing amongst themselves. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. But, this is the internet, after all.
We are going to try and answer as many of your questions as we can about the Thunderbirds Blu-ray, including...
When's it coming out? Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
And do we feel ashamed for being so disgraceful that it isn't yet out yet?
That's a good point. Yes. Well, we'll address that later.
Oh, there's questions and more, to be honest.
He doesn't look that ashamed, to be fair.
Actually, no, he doesn't.
I'll work on it.
Yeah. Also coming up, we've got Fab Facts. We have. Also coming up, we've got Fab or Fib.
Oh.
A special Thunderbirds edition.
Your favourites are back today.
They are.
Yes.
But I have to say, no Voice of the Podstrons this month. And that is simply because most of the podcast is going to be questions from the Podstrons.
From the Podstrons, okay. Yes.
But Voice of the Podstrons will be back again next month, because you have been emailing us at podcast@jerryanderson.com. So I'm saving them all for next month.
Next month, Christmas.
It will be.
It will be, yes. Christmas. I think there is also an elephant in the room.
He doesn't mean it. Don't take it personally. He has balloons.
Specifically, there is a white whale on this table.
Yes, well, I can't believe you haven't mentioned it.
It's taking up our entire table.
Yes.
Jamie, what is this? And why is it here?
Well, it's not Ross, you're right. It is the unpainted prototype of the Eagle 1976. Lots of you listening and watching may have ordered one.
Oh. Yes.
Some of you may have not. If you don't know what it is, way back when, in 1976, would you believe?
I remember.
Mattel released a fairly large Eagle toy in the United States. Most people couldn't get it in the UK, and lots of people couldn't get it in the US because I think it outsold supply.
Wow.
And it's been coveted ever since. So we have worked with Zyka and Giant Leap Toys out in the US to create this new... updated, upgraded Eagle, which is a little bit more grown up, a little bit more accurate, much more detailed, has lots of bits that open and deploy.
Lovely cockpit in there,
astronauts can go in the cockpit and all sorts of good stuff like that.
So there'll be figures with it?
Yes, there'll be figures you can get. And yes, this is the unpainted one. The painted prototype is even lovelier. It's massive. You'll need to start clearing your shelf immediately.
Well,
it's heavy, and it's being manufactured right now and should be arriving in the UK in early February.
Right.
So,
Amazing.
Eagle is almost in flight.
I mean, I'd love to pick it up and fly it around and show it to you, but we just don't have the room, do we?
No room to swing an eagle in here, sadly.
Well, this is the one you may have seen this weekend, just gone on display at Telford.
At the International Plastic Modeler Society show at the Telford International
Centre.
Yes,
it's come direct from Telford.
Yes, where I met lots of lovely Podstrons and non-Podstrons.
Oh, I thought you'd say, and not so lovely Podstrons.
No.
Had a few fights, smashed a few heads.
There were no fights, there was just lots of lovely things and people saying lovely, lovely bits and pieces.
Good.
It was great.
Yeah.
And I hear there was quite a lot of Anderson representation around the event generally.
There was a great deal of it. There was a lovely mole model.
Mole.
With lots of... cotton wool explosions and fire.
Nice.
There was a big eagle display. There was a a very well dirtied down Thunderbird 4. So, but yeah, you should be able to see some of those in the coming days or weeks on our Instagram, yes. Because I believe Ross is going to be making a nice little showcase video, aren't you, Ross?
Well, actually, I meant to ask you this. How would you feel about if we were to insert a little bit of it here?
Oh, yeah, why wait? Well, we can have it now.
Yeah.
Hello, Thunderbirds fans and Thunderbirds Christmas fans. If you are those things, then this clearly is the Christmas jumper for you. This Thunderbirds are snow Christmas jumper, get it? Was designed by Emily Woodthorpe as part of a competition we ran. And I'm sure you'll agree, it is absolutely glorious. With snowflakes built from Thunderbirds vehicles and this iconic new Christmas catchphrase, you can get your Thunderbirds are snow Christmas jumper from jerryanson.com. If you are a Thunderbirds fan and a model kit enthusiast, you might like these that we've just got at the Jerry Anderson store. Straight from Japan, from our friends at Belfine, this is the Thunderbirds Trapped in the Sky kit, featuring Thunderbird 1, Fire Flash, and an elevator car. These are brand new tools. First time they've ever been out, and they're exclusive to the Jerry Anderson store. You can get yours at jerryanderson.com. And coming very, very soon, is the second set, which is the Thunderbirds Heavy Rescue set, featuring these three beauties. And here's a little tease of the box art, which I think is pretty stunning. This one's also available to pre-order now from jerryanderson.com. I've just got my hands on one of the very, very first 50th anniversary Golden Eagles. These are limited to, of course, $19.99 worldwide. And they are arriving very, very shortly. So if you pre-ordered one, you will also get your hands on one very, very soon. And if you would like your very own 50th anniversary Space 1999 Gold Eagle, then you can get one from jerryanderson.com. I've just managed to get my hands on this rather exciting special commemorative medal collection for Thunderbird's 60th anniversary. It is a set of 10 medals, all designed by the lovely Lee Sullivan, comic artist extraordinaire, featuring all of your favourite Tracy brothers and the vehicles. There are only 500 of these. It's a limited edition. Lovely individually numbered COA. That's a certificate of authenticity, for those who don't know. And look at those. 10 beautiful designs, such lovely colours, and all of Lee's finest work. Anyway, you can't have this set because this set is mine. But you can get your own one from jerryanderson.com very soon.
Amazing. That looks great.
Didn't it just?
Well, didn't you have fun?
And I couldn't remember all the things that were there, so sorry if I came and saw your lovely model and forgot. Yeah. It was just too much.
Don't forget, stick around because we've got the randomizer a little later on when we'll be choosing which episode of a Jerry Anderson series we will be watching next time on the Jerry Anderson podcast in a couple of weeks.
Random?
You're completely
could
random.
Could be anything?
Could be anything.
It won't be whatever we had last time, which
or
was
any Space Precinct to Against the Rock.
Or any of the prior things. It won't be any of those either.
No.
Yeah, that's true because we've watched those already. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Now, you might remember we recently were joined by Henry Shields from Mischief Theatre.
Yes. Very nice. The podcast that goes wrong.
Yes, indeed. And as you say, he's famous, well, mainly, I think, for the play that goes wrong and the various iterations of that genre and format. Yeah. Well, we were wondering what Thunderbirds Goes Wrong might look like, if you remember, with Henry. And Mart the Martian commented beneath that particular video over on our YouTube channel and said, well, it's been done, Thunderbirds Goes Wrong, roughly 40 years ago in Australia. Would you like to take a look?
Yeah, I love it.
Roger, got it. We'll be right there.
Hilarious.
Virgil, can you come in?
Particular attention having been paid to the eyebrows, that's quite nice.
I'm getting some Pete and Dud vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Super Thunder Sting car.
Yes.
What is it, Dad?
I've just had a call from the space station near Mars.
What do they want?
Two capricciosas, small marinara, and a garlic bread.
Dad, don't tell me it's come to this. Delivering pizzas to remote parts of the galaxy.
Oh, no. There's just no money in international rescue, son.
Well, isn't there anything that we can do?
I've had a word to Brains. He's promised to pull a few strings.
You see what they did there? That's clever. Yeah. I would never have thought of that. There.
Wow. No.
That's quite good. That's quite funny, I think.
Well, for 40 years ago,
yeah. Yeah, humour is subjective, isn't it? Like, yeah.
I mean, brought back memories for me, of course. It was very much like the Thunderbird stage show.
You doing it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then we subjected, or rather the randomizer subjected Henry to an
episode of Space Precinct. Yes. Yeah,
Two Against the Rock. I mean, it's a great episode. Ray Winston, Stephen Griff, me, obviously.
Highlight of any Space Precinct episode.
And No, Ted Chakraford.
No, he's on holiday for a couple of weeks. That's right. Over on our Facebook group, CJ List wrote, "This was one of the few times a randomizer episode air date almost matches the original air date of an Anderson show."
Ooh. Did I do that deliberately?
Did you? Well, or did the randomizer? No. Do you mean?
Yeah. Because it's all by chance.
Of course, very random, yes. Isn't it? Yes.
He goes on, Two Against the Rock aired on this day in 1995. That's when he watched it on BBC Two. I vaguely remember seeing this episode at the time and had no clue it aired that soon, although various edits being made to other episodes probably caused this. I also don't recall Haldane's Nightmare Vision airing at all on the BBC Two edit, but that might be just me. I certainly remember seeing the titles of this episode at the time. That's interesting. I should have spoken to Charlotte about that, of course. She would know.
Yes. You'd have the documentation, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah. How much of that nightmare sequence actually made it to the BBC Two edit.
Yeah.
Because they did cut quite a few things out, as we know.
Yeah, heavily edited.
Because that nightmare sequence uses, like, scary cut footage from other episodes.
Yes.
And it's completely unusable.
Some of which Haldane didn't even witness. That's
yes.
The
and there's that I was going to say gorgeous. It's not gorgeous. It's a wonderfully gory shot of that guy's head inflating.
Oh, gorgeous!
And the huge bubble swelling off his neck. Yeah. And that's just, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. Was that from Flash?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it?
Yes.
He knows.
Yes, when they took Flash and they went wrong.
They explode. Yeah.
As I say, I went onto our Facebook group and asked a few questions of our Podstrons. I asked for, firstly, relevant and then irrelevant questions.
Oh, goodness me.
We are getting to Thunderbird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just bear with us.
Oh, so I said, don't worry, we're getting there, but we've got a whole other podcast to get through.
I know.
We can't just come on here and talk about Thunderbirds.
We could.
Chris, take a handful of those questions.
A handful of these questions.
Yeah, and let's...
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
That'll do. Not that's that a much. Good start.
Well, I'm greedy. I don't often get to take stuff out of the team.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's like being a guest, isn't it?
Robert Monk says,
oh, yeah.
With the musical version of Paddington hitting the stage, which Anderson show would each of you bring to life as a musical? That's the serious question. Do you want the silly question as well? What's a good think to order for dinner from a Chinese restaurant? It specifically says think.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what to order from a Chinese restaurant. I go for the crispy duck, of course, with the pancakes and the shredded spring onions and cucumber and the plum sauce.
I'm a sweet and sour chicken balls kind of guy, yeah. But like fried rice.
I thought just where you were sitting.
Yeah. Crispy chili beef.
Wow, okay. And, sorry, what was the actual question?
The serious question. Which Anderson show would each of you bring to life as a musical?
As a musical?
As a musical.
Oh, I think Stingray would work. Wouldn't
it? Well, Stingray, we've kind of done.
As a musical?
Yes.
It was part of a little
Yes. I could see that working.
I think because of the Kate Kestrel presence, Terrorhawks would be a good...
Yeah.
Like a good flashy kind of show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels like a solid suggestion.
Yeah.
Get Zelda scene and such.
Yeah. What would you go for, do you think?
A bit of supercar, maybe.
It's interesting. We've gone for those sort of... Yeah. Well, apart from Terrorhawks, I suppose, yes.
Well, I was going to say the camper shows.
Yeah.
Which is actually where we have landed.
It's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yes.
Next.
Next question. Right. This is from Brandon Gant. Mm-hmm. Relevant. If you could commission one never-made Anderson series, what would it be?
Five Star Five.
It's a film, he did say
series. But I would make it into a series.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I kind of still like that idea that inspired Captain Scarlet of the American cop show where the big name star gets bumped off in the first or second episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, GFI, obviously.
Of course, yes. Yes.
Right.
Well, yes. And if Moonbase Alpha had TikTok, which crew member would go viral first and for what?
See, I don't understand TikTok. I'd signed up for a TikTok account the other day and I couldn't make head nor tail of it and deleted it.
I guess
it once.
Which Alphan is most likely to film themselves dancing or singing?
Oh. I thought maybe someone who was very ranty. I thought Prentice Hancock might have gone. Yeah,
yes.
The Paul Morrow rant.
Paul
Morrow's grinds my gears.
The truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No.
I think Tony Videsci would probably have a beer making channel.
Of course.
Beard making or beer making?
Beer.
He makes beer. He was big on the old beer.
Oh, was he?
No. Yes. Much, never much quite less right. Than the beard.
Ah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Steve Bushell asked, which character in one of Jerry's live-action shows would you most like to have played?
Oh, one of the live-action shows. Which character would I most like to have? I think Romek from Space Precinct.
Because then you get to work with the wonderful Richard James.
Yeah, of course. Yes. What a lovely thing that would be.
Okay. Yeah.
As not an actor, Zill. I mean, Zill.
You'd be a great Zill, actually.
Thank you.
I can see the Zill from here.
Just need a very hefty wig.
I think I could be a protector, you know, What is the strangest item you possess?
Strangest item I possess, Jamie Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Possess him, do you?
Yeah, very much so.
In a sort of poltergeisty way.
Yes. I'm possessed by Jamie Anderson. Yeah. Or obsessed.
Yes. No, definitely not that.
You've got quite a few strange things. What do you have? I've been around your house.
What have you
full
seen?
Of weird things. Things on shelves, Davroses and... Oh. Heads and...
I thought you meant the...
Oh, no, not talking about that.
No. I've got a cat skull, which I quite like.
Mm. Right, okay.
Not one of my cats. No. I used to add a cat skull I discovered when we moved house.
Oh, great.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Well,
Chris?
The first thing that comes to mind is in my bathroom, I've got a framed piece of campaign literature of Vinnie Artax.
Oh, nice. Okay, that was not expected. I thought you were going there.
While you're doing your business, you can read from Vinnie's...
While you're doing your business?
What do you do in a bathroom?
Is it cistern side
or facing
the toilet?
Well, I don't conduct business in a bathroom.
It's washing your hand side.
Oh, right.
So it's near the mirror.
Okay. Fine. Good
great.
To know.
Yeah. More of those questions coming up later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the stuff that people really
need. Yeah, the Thunderbirds Blu-ray that everyone's itching for. Yeah.
Okay, go on then. Let's hear what people have been asking.
Okay.
About the Thunderbirds Blu-ray.
Right. Well, the first question, and it's coming from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the Thunderbirds Blu-ray?
When is it coming out?
When? And when?
And where and when?
Mm. Where and when and when?
Well, you'll have to wait and find out. No.
they will lynch us. They will storm us.
It is slated for release on the 15th of December. That's the wider release.
Yeah.
We hope to have it about... a week to 10 days before that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So 5th-ish of December,
okay.
I hope. And then it'll start shipping then to all of our lovely people who've pre-ordered it.
And Chris, it's probably worth mentioning, we were talking a little earlier about the reasons why these things often take a little bit longer. And it's generally nothing to do with us.
Well, it's generally nothing to do with us. Oh. In this case, there have been a mix of technical problems and sort of... What would you call the Fabble Box?
Procedural issues.
So essentially people have to sign off on the stuff that you want. People like ITV, I'm guessing, have to sign off on the stuff you're going to put on the Blu-ray, but that might take time.
We're not blaming ITV.
No.
But when you're doing something as important as this, and when you're creating new material, ITV understandably have to approve it. They have to read everything. They have to watch everything, and sometimes it means it has to go to the higher ups, and they're very busy. And then something which you think would only take a week or two can easily then take a month, and then we're held up through nobody's fault. But that's what happens when we're doing new stuff. If we weren't doing nice new things, it would have been out quicker. But then you'd obviously all would rightfully say, why isn't everything new on there?
Yes.
So we're between a rock and a hard place.
Yes. Exactly, yes, in several ways. Because there's also, with the fixes that we've done on many episodes...
Oh, goodness me.
Yes. We have to call in... They're called LTOs, aren't they? Which I believe is an intermediate stage. It's like the raw scan from when it was last
scanned? Yeah, exactly. So when the scan is taken from 35mm neg, it's stored in its big, bloated, raw master form on an LTO, which is a tape, essentially, like an old-fashioned tape.
Yeah, right.
That's a high-fidelity, old-fashioned storage in a weird way. But they go into storage, and then when the fixing and the grade and all that sort of stuff is done, it's done from that material. So if something in the Japanese masters, for example, which we were kind of using as our baseline... is wrong. We can't fix it there because there's nothing to fix. We have to go back to the older material. That means calling it up, getting it sent, getting it unarchived, and then
working
on that.
Which is a very long and, I believe, expensive. Is there cost related to that process?
Oh, yes, we've incurred lots of additional costs that we weren't expecting to bring this set to you. So.
Yeah, I see.
That is, and some of those have been ongoing fixes. I believe the most recent one has been the clouds in Series 2. The opening titles of Series 2 of Thunderbirds, the clouds were slightly different. It's the same image, but it was sort of airbrushed slightly.
Ah.
And on the previous release, which is the one on ITVX and currently streaming on ITV's YouTube, they just blanket used the Season 1 titles.
Sure.
We've gone back and put the Season 2 titles in.
Uh-huh.
But it was something of a reconstruction job from various sources. So,
Again, it takes sometimes time. You think these things are going to be easy. Oh, we'll just go and pull the original footage.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's a problem there as well. Okay, yes. We're going to have to work around it. And we didn't want to cut any corners, really.
No, heaven forbid.
No.
Now, you've mentioned Fabblebox.
Fabblebox, which we haven't really spoken about.
Yeah, so before we have a little look at a little tease, tell us what that's all about then.
Well, Fabblebox is a new 22-minute-ish mini adventure for Penelope and Parker.
Ah.
Filmed in glorious Super Marionation with John Coleshaw as the voice of Parker and Genevieve Gaunt as Lady Penelope.
Nice.
Puppeteered by Justin T. Lee and Lindsay Lee over in Canada. Mm-hmm. Justin also provides the voice of Scott.
Uh-huh.
And they've made that for us in between seasons and their hit show and other projects that they've got going on.
Brilliant.
They turned that around in record time for us.
Great.
And I believe you have a little clip to show. This is a world exclusive.
International rescue from Thunderbird 1. What's the word, Father?
Penny and Parker have succeeded in retrieving those master recordings from the television studio and are returning to the mansion to review them now. Until they do, we don't know how seriously this affects our security.
Yeah, I just had a call about that from John. Full recordings of international rescue activities, somehow in the hands of the media. Sounds pretty serious.
Which is why I want you to proceed to England at maximum speed. Make a discreet landing, and then proceed to the mansion to await developments. We may have to take action at a moment's notice.
Okay, Father, we'll do. Gee, I wonder what exactly Penelope and Parker are going to find on those recordings.
Were you able to find the old Blu-ray player all right, Parker?
Eventually, m'lady. Good job you kept it. Not much call for these things nowadays.
I'm afraid my dear Papa always was something of a hoarder. It's a trait I seem to have inherited. Still, in this case, it appears to have paid off. Although I can't imagine how recordings of international rescue operations have leaked like this. The boys are usually so careful.
All set up, m'lady. Shall I do the honours?
Please do, Parker.
Five.
Oof.
Four.
Do you think we might have a little hush, m'lady?
I'm sorry about that, Parker.
One.
I wasn't expecting things to get so dramatic quite so quickly.
Thunderbirds are go.
So there we go.
Great.
Penelope and Parker watching Thunderbirds. How is that even possible? Well, you'll have to watch Fabblebox to find out.
How bizarre to see words like Blu-ray and things coming out of Penelope's mouth. Mm. It's quite strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Blu-ray.
Yes. I love that Justin and Lindsay put the auto Blu-ray, that same it was, I think, auto bomb unit in the first episode and stuff.
Very
nice. Yeah, everyone involved with this has done an amazing job. Justin and Lindsay have done great on the puppet side.
Yeah.
John and Genevieve, as always, just knocking out of the park as Lady Penelope and Parker.
Yeah.
Also, Wayne Forrester, I have to thank him because he Genevieve and John weren't available both days, so he stepped in to read for one of the characters.
Uh-huh. Yes. Nice. Brilliant. So, good. Let's breeze through some actual questions then.
Actual questions.
Yeah, go on.
Actual questions. Yeah. Gaius Ross says, will there be any Thunderbirds audio dramas or stories included, like on the Stingray special set? Yeah, that was it Terra Fake was on the Stingray set?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a new audio story. We have included Brains is Dead from the Thunderbirds audio range a few years ago.
So you can have a little taster.
Yeah, but nice. Fabblebox is kind of the new story side of things.
Yeah.
James Pilson Wood, from a physical release standpoint, would this be the end of the road for Thunderbirds?
Oh.
Can you see the series getting another set? It's in inverted quotation marks. There,
yeah, so. Fair enough.
I mean, certainly I think the idea was this would be the last word for Thunderbirds on Blu-ray.
Yes.
That is the plan.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And I hope we've managed it.
There are, obviously, further places we could go in terms of fidelity.
Yes.
As you may have seen, the 4K restorations of two episodes that we did in cinemas and coming to UHD Steelbook release very shortly.
Yeah.
Whether we do that for a full series, we'll have to see how things go, because it is frighteningly expensive to do.
And then, of course, we've got to look forward to the virtual reality surround image versions where you put the headset and find yourself in the middle of the action.
Well, and the Neuralink-delivered cortical stimulation variant.
But there is that thing. You have to keep up with the latest, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yes. There are levels media. At which things begin to break down. So, you know, I don't think we're going to do an 8K release. That's definitely not the cards because the fidelity of film doesn't go that far.
Wow.
I think it's sort of it's about 6 is where it begins to break down, and there is no 6K format. So, you know, we'll definitely keep an eye on it.
Yes.
And we are doing a lot of physical restoration work currently, which takes a lot of time, has to use the right people, the right experts.
Yes.
And costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Very expensive, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. But that's Silver Salt, isn't it? Who are doing the restoration work on the 4K stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
And also they've done some of the fixes for our Thunderbirds release as well and some of the LTOs.
Yeah.
I apologise if I'm not getting this pronunciation right.
Oh, good. Go on.
I'd lean into it, Chris.
Yeah, just go for it.
Jore Han. Jore?
I don't know.
Hello. Were international subtitles considered? Dutch, French or Spanish, to name a few? I mean, there are a lot of fans all over the world. Would be nice for this definitive edition. I saw more than one person asking about subtitles.
A totally reasonable question. So we are licensed for English language.
Right.
And that is our main issue. Uh-huh. Yes. There are other licensed partners all over the world who are licensed exclusively for that language in that territory.
Yes.
And we can't tread on those toes. So it's a little bit of an annoying technicality.
Yeah.
Mm. But also, I mean, if the tables were turned and there was a German company doing an English version, then we would be annoyed because we've got the license to the English one. So you've got to play by the rules of the game.
So, I mean, potentially any other country could do their own version and have done their own version.
And I believe there are others who are looking at it now. But, just one of those slight frustrations of licensing and rights.
Yes, sorry about that. Steve Willem asks, will the 32 episodes be on 9 discs similar to the Japanese Blu-ray set, which I believe the new versions are based on? Yes, they are the same versions that were on the Japanese Blu-rays, but with the enhancements and tweaks and stuff that we've done. No, the 32 episodes are across 8 discs, and then discs 9, 10 and 11 are various new and archived special features, plus the 50th anniversary episodes.
Aha.
Yes.
Lovely.
So it's an 11 disc set.
Lots of discs.
Lots of discs.
Amazing.
Lots of stuff. Yes. Simpsons Clips 24 asks, is it possible to include the Blue Peter episodes where they made Tracy Island? Yes, I said episodes because both Anthea Turner and Connie Huck made it in separate episodes. We did talk about BBC material because they had Thunderbirds stuff has been on various BBC shows over the years. Yeah. But licensing
is prohibitively expensive.
Wow.
To the point where I think I did work out if we included the BBC material, we'd have to add about £15 per unit.
Yes.
So you'd be looking over £100.
Really?
To purely have, a little bit of BBC content on that. So
incredible.
So, to people who are sort of complaining about the price, it's there are reasons.
Absolutely.
Reasons that we can't really share.
You don't just pluck a figure up the air.
No, it's not manufactured for £1 a disc. And when you take it, everybody's time. And you imagine all the people who've worked on this set. I mean, there's probably about 20 people who've contributed some huge amounts of time, like Chris and others who've given us material or, you know, use of their facilities. It's eye-watering. I don't want to think about it too much, actually.
Stephen Carson asks, will there be a featurette about the work involved in making the corrections to the material? Secondly, will there be a list of the main enhancements made?
Right. We love a list.
We do love a list. I don't think so, because we've... So the way we did this was each of us, people like myself, Jack Knoll, AC, several others who I'm forgetting, I apologise. Ben Page was one. We were each assigned like 6 or 7 episodes. We each watched them twice, once with the 5-1, once with the original mono. We then swapped batches so that I would inherit Ben's and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And we made a master spreadsheet of every problem that we could recognize. I mean, when we say problem, it's things like there's the wrong shot in an episode, all the way down to there's a slight click on the soundtrack at 10 minutes in. So I think a full list is prohibitive because it would just be...
Yeah.
It would be like an encyclopedia.
Yeah. It would, yes.
An accompanying tome.
Yeah.
Yes. So, no, I don't think there will be a list.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people will be able to recognize what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
If you would like to create said list online, then please do feel free.
Yes, and I'm sure also people will create a list of things that we didn't fix.
Of course.
But
Or you fixed wrongly.
Fixed wrongly, yes. But I think it's time we look at one of the fixes that we made.
Ooh,
yes. This is a little fix from an episode we like to call City of Fire.
Because that's called.
Its title. Yes. Great. Yes. And this is a problem, actually, I noticed when we were watching it on the podcast, whenever we did that on the randomizer. Mm. So, Richard, if you would do the honours.
Let's have a look.
Here we are in the old version. This is the one that's on ITVX and the ITV YouTube channel. And you can see in this shot, it's massively zoomed in. The tops of the puppets' heads are missing. You should be able to see the strings. You should be able to see their arms. There should be some kind of grill thing here.
Mm.
And we can't really tell why that was zoomed in.
Yeah.
We've gone back to the LTOs. Here they are in the corridor again. And we've pulled back.
Wow.
And you can see there's a bit of a difference there. We've got that grill, you've got their heads, you can see their hands.
Incredible.
Full frame.
Yeah. And Stephen Thwaites, who is doing all of the visual fixes, is, as you can see there, nice before and after. He has matched that to the shots previous and either side. Possibly there's been some more grading work on that since it was done. But yeah, that's
there you go.
That's just one small thing that we've
done. Yeah.
Out of tens?
Tens.
Over 100, I think, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many fixes Stephen has done.
What,
yeah.
Was there a single episode that escaped without having any fixes made?
Nothing went... No, there was no episode that was signed off as like, this
That's
has
fine.
No fix.
Right.
I don't know exactly how many fixes have actually been done.
Yeah.
But as many as we can.
As many as we can. We've done some of the major ones. In fact, one we'd already done before the Blu-ray set in Operation Crash Dive. There's two shots of the Fire Flash taking off that were lifted from Trapped in the Sky. But in the original episode, it's shots unique to Operation Crash Dive that were replaced with the Trapped in the Sky material. We went back to the LTOs to pull up the correct material for that shot for the Super Space Theatre release.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a back and forth about the correct Fire Flash shot. Yeah. We've got to get it right. We've got to do... I don't think anyone's noticed.
Of course.
But if we hadn't done it...
Yeah.
Then people would have noticed.
People would be complaining about it. Yes. But we did it and no one noticed.
Yeah.
So,
but it's kind of good in a way. But essentially, you can watch these things knowing that you're seeing the best possible version.
Yes.
And that you won't find it jarring, but you can just sit and enjoy every frame knowing it's the best version it can be.
Mm. And I don't think there's any moments, possibly there's one, where we've looked at an LTO and thought, we can see why they didn't do that back in the day.
There was quite severe damage to some
there
of them.
There was damage on, I think it's in the opening titles of Pit of Peril, there's a tear across the sky backdrop or something. I don't know if it's a tear on the backdrop or if it's a tear on the film.
Right.
That has not been fixed because it was just not, whatever you did to it, it was going to have a massive tear across it.
Yeah, I
so.
See. Gosh, yeah, amazing.
But 95%, 94%, 93%.
Yeah, rounded up to the nearest 100.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Couple more questions,
Chris.
Couple
more questions, yes. Will the Shane Rimmer recaps for the two-part editions be included as a bonus feature? No. We do have some representation of those. Yeah, when the show was chopped up into two-parters, Shane Rimmer would do a tune in tomorrow to see how they get out of this.
Right.
And then he would do a recap at the beginning of the next episode. We have silent visuals for the recaps from, ironically enough, Trapped in the Sky and Terror in New York City. And we have a 30-second promo of him talking about Thunderbird 1. Which came from an old VHS tape that was circulating for a long time, and we've replaced the visuals with the HD stuff. So it's not as much as we would like, but it's not sure if anything else survives.
Yeah.
Speaking of things surviving, and this is my main chance to talk about it, we asked ITV as part of this process.
Oh yeah.
Do they hold anything for Thunderbirds 2086? And Turbocharged Thunderbirds. Thought it was nice to get some clarification on the matter. Mm. Unfortunately, ITV do not hold anything for Thunderbirds 2086. Even more unfortunately, they hold all 13 episodes of Turbocharged Thunderbirds. So, if you want to see those, all two of you Turbocharged Thunderbirds, you know each other personally.
Yeah.
Yes. Podcast at Jerry Anderson. There's the door.
Please leave. That'll be you and Virgil, the two who want to see it.
So now you know. How in depth is the episode guidebook, says Sonny Edwards. Main reason I bought it.
Right.
That's just over 100 pages, I think.
Yeah.
Mike Jones, written and beautifully designed. So if you're familiar with his work from things like the Captain Scarlet and Space 1999 Vault books.
Yep, all of those.
Various Fanderson titles as well. Yep, he's done a good job.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's like little bits in the background you may not have noticed.
Lovely.
It's a nice little tribute to the series.
Great.
Which episode needed the most work during the restoration, says Russell Cook? Security Hazard.
Mm.
After the opening titles on that one, the first 3 minutes are similar to that clip from City of Fire, massively zoomed in. Again, for no reason that we could really determine. So we went back to the LTO. As of last week, I think that fix has been made.
Ha.
So, yeah, 3 minutes fix is definitely there. Yeah. Scott Sadler asks, how many episodes will be on each disc? 4. And which order are the episodes in throughout the set? It's the order going Trapped in the Sky, Pit of Peril, City of Fire, Sun Probe. I'm not going to keep going. That order.
There you go.
And Robert M. Cassidy says, will Jeff Smart's Nosy Parker Is Go have an option to retain the original Parker voice, which I think Jeff did himself?
Yes.
Or is it just the version with David Graham? So the restoration of Nosy Parker Is Go in full glorious HD, Jeff has carried that out himself, separate from us. So as far as I know, it will just be the David Graham.
It's the upgraded version.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, we did the HD restoration, but he's then put everything together and... It's the first time that David Graham version will have aired ever, which is rather lovely.
So when did David Graham do the voice?
Quite a while ago, I think.
Right.
Jeff managed to get together with him and get him to record all the lines. And
so for many people, that's one last new little piece of David Graham as Parker.
It is lovely.
Yeah, so nice. Great. Well, hopefully that's all your questions answered about the Thunderbirds Blu-ray set.
Certainly some of them.
Yes.
Which is coming soon.
Exactly. Early December, it'll be plopping through your letterbox.
Plopping, it'll be kabooming. Thunderbirds Blu-ray set would do.
At least 3 times from 3 different angles, I hope. Yeah, great. Now, to celebrate all things Thunderbirds, how do you fancy a very special Thunderbirds fab or fib?
I'll probably tolerate it.
So I'm going to give you 5 facts on the Thunderbirds universe, and you have to tell me quite simply if it's fab or fib, if it's true or false. If it's true, it's a fab. If it's false, it's a fib. 5 facts that might be fab or fib.
Right.
Okay.
We don't know.
Right.
So, are you ready for this one? The first episode was actually shown for the first time in Holland when it was screened on September the 5th, but the episodes were shown monthly. Fab or fib? True or false?
Ooh.
Was the first episode of Thunderbirds actually shown for the first time in Holland?
I'm going to say... I know it was popular in Holland.
Yeah? Yeah. Right.
I'm going to say...
But if it was popular, why did they show it monthly?
Well, exactly, yeah. 32 months, yeah.
So...
I'm going to say fib.
Yeah.
Jeremy?
I think there's a grain of fab to it, but I think it is a fib. I think that there was an earlier screening than in the UK, but I don't believe the monthly thing.
Fab. Yes! It's fab! It's true!
That can't be.
It is true.
We've been...
According to an article I found online, it's true.
Have you been talking to ChatGPT again?
We all know all the answers. It's full of truths. Okay, interesting.
Now then, the miniature drum kit used in the film Thunderbirds Are Go was given to Shadows drummer Brian Bennett as a souvenir. Fab or fib, is that true or false?
I know Cliff and the Shadows tried to get hold of their puppets and were told, you don't earn enough to pay
these
puppets cost or something like that.
Yeah. Fab or fib, true or false?
What would he have done to have earned that? That, say, any others wouldn't have earned
a bribery.
Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
I'm going to go fib again.
Fib again? Jamie?
I'm going to go fab.
All right. Ooh, play along at home, of course. Fab or fib?
Fab.
Bad at this.
If you want the evidence. Well. Isn't that nice?
Is that evidence? That's just a picture of him on set.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, we can imagine that after that he was given...
But he nicked the drum kit.
He carried them out under his arms. Yeah, I can imagine that. Okay.
Okay, number 3. Lady Penelope headed her own organisation called the Federal Agents Bureau, FAB, before leaving to join International Rescue. According to later fiction, her place was taken in FAB by Diane Sims, who later became Rhapsody Angel in Captain Scarlet. Fab or fib?
Fab.
Fab.
Pretty emphatic.
Fab.
Yes. Okay.
I'm starting to wonder if all 5 are fab.
Well, don't spoil really? It, Chris.
Well, no, I don't know.
That would be very unusual.
It would be very unusual.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
Highly irregular.
Number four, to protect the models from the heat of the pyrotechnics used for the rockets, metal tubes were inserted into them. These tubes were actually metal cigar tubes that the production team took from Gerry Anderson's office after he'd left for the evening. Did the crew pilfer Gerry's cigar tubes to use?
I would have assumed he'd just donated them. I can't imagine them breaking into the boss's office. But I know, obviously, they were used in models.
I think there's some dramatic license here.
Yes.
So?
On the basis of dramatic license, then let's go fab.
Double fab.
Yes.
Let's have a look. Well, who'd have thought?
Okay.
Four fabs in a row.
Yes. Apparently, we would have thought that.
Could we go for a fifth?
Well, I don't know. Barry Gray's iconic theme tune was recently voted second in a poll of the most memorable ITV themes over the 60-year history of commercial television. Fab or fib? Was it recently voted second place?
What would be the most memorable? I can't remember what other things there would be.
Yes. We're talking ITV specifically.
I do remember there was a top 10 TV themes on ITV about 10 years ago. Thunderbirds was on there.
Well, that's 10 years ago. You said the 60th. They just had the 70th, haven't they? So that must be an old vote. So how can we remember from 10 years ago? I'm going to say fab.
I'm going to say fab as well.
Another fab?
Another fab, yeah.
Being very strange, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Unprecedented, I would say.
It's
fab.
It wasn't really fab or fab, it was just...
Fab.
But would you like to know, if Barry Gray's Thunderbirds March was number two in the chart, what was number one?
The blind date theme.
The Avengers.
Let's have a look. Ready for this?
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Of course it is.
Why, of course?
Well, it certainly is recognisable, isn't it? We all know the Benny Hill. Actually, it wasn't the theme. Wasn't the Benny Hill show theme tune?
Yeah.
I think it was called Yakety
Sax.
That's right. Yeah. Yakety Sax, was it?
I think so.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. So, anyhow, that's interesting fab or fib for
interesting,
you.
Interesting.
Yes.
The word.
Interesting, yes.
Thank you for that.
Right.
No, I did enjoy it.
Fine. I won't bother next time. Now, before we hit the randomizer button to see what we're going to be watching next time on the Gerry Anderson.
About the,
yes, exactly. Let's have some more relevant and irrelevant questions from our podcast.
Irrelevant questions. Great. Does anyone else want to pick from a tub or shall I just keep going?
Go on, keep going, Chris.
Rich Goodborn says, is there potential for more of Richard's previous Andiverse books being brought to audio?
No.
And what is.
I mean, yeah, let's just keep it quick. There's potential. To the point. But there's potential, I suppose. Yeah.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? See, it depends if it's an African or a European swallow.
Okay, very good. Yes.
And if it's carrying coconuts.
That's from something, isn't it?
Me. Yes.
Right, got you. Move on.
Jeff Tilly, hi guys. My question to all is, which Andiverse character has the coolest name, in your opinion?
I know who doesn't have the... who has the uncoolest name.
Go on.
Right.
Well, Captain Scarlet. Okay. Paul Metcalf. Completely ordinary name.
Okay.
I think the coolest name is Scott Tracy. Has to be Scott
Tracy.
Tracy's
pretty cool.
I remember when I was at school, I wanted to be called Scott and I wanted to have an American accent at primary school.
Right.
Funny, isn't it?
Okay.
You and Sophie Aldred. Nero Jones.
Nero Jones.
Yes. That's pretty cool.
Johnny Srunara.
Oh, Chris.
I know. Okay. I can dream.
Goodness.
Jack F. Grave. If you could make a movie of any Anderson series, which would it be?
Ooh. The real drama behind You've Never Seen This.
Oh,
yes. Was there real drama behind it?
I think so.
Well, we can make
some
up.
There's a bit of...
yes, well...
Let's not cast any aspersions.
No, it's
fine, then we'll audio. Yeah.
Good. And number two, Chris, what would you consider to be the perfect sandwich recipe?
Oh, come on then, Chris. I'll tell you what mine is when you're done.
Oh, I don't know. I really
pastrami.
Sausages.
Gherkins.
Sausages.
Mustard.
Sausages.
Sausage sandwich.
A bit of sausage then.
Ketchup, brown sauce.
Brown, yes.
Yeah. Sausage and grated cheese baguette.
Oh, now you're talking. Yes. Pulled pork.
Oh. Pulled pork.
All gets out of hand.
Too late.
Would you like to press the randomizer button to see what we're going to be watching on the Gerry Anderson podcast in a couple of weeks' time?
Yes, please.
Who's going to press it?
Oh, well.
It's just under the eagle there. Chris, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, let Chris press.
Come on then. Pull it out and give it a plunge.
Right. Well, let's see if Virgil would like to press it.
Oh,
I don't think he's ever had a go.
Great.
Hand or head or bum?
Oh,
you could sit on it.
I was just going to go hand, but yeah, you can sit on it. That would be better.
Perfect.
So, whatever we get, it's on Virgil's bum.
All right, off we go then. What are we hoping for, chaps?
Something colour, we're good.
New Captain Scarlet, for me.
Yeah, but Protectors, we haven't had that for a while.
No Protectors, thank you.
Oh, we're still going.
Come on, Hughes.
Even better.
Nothing could make me happier than something that makes Richard unhappy.
Great.
Yes.
It's Terrorhawks. Yay. It is great. It is Terrorhawks, yes.
Again, did we have Terrorhawks like earlier this year?
We did, yes. But there's quite a lot of them, yes.
There's loads of Terrorhawks that would come.
Tell us a little bit about, do the audio as well. In 4.7 seconds, Terrorhawks.
Terrorhawks, stay on this channel. This is an emergency.
Is that all we need to know?
Yeah, done.
Okay,
yeah.
I've got a couple of reviews from IMDb.
Okay.
Now, Terrorhawks actually has a rating of 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's pretty good.
It's not
reasonable.
Bad, is it?
No.
And here's a review left by a user. Terrorhawks, the greatest Gerry Anderson puppetry program ever conceived, created, and commissioned. Terrorhawks is easily the most brilliant, did you write this, of any of Gerry Anderson's puppetry programs or series. I've not seen it since the early 80s, and it's the only one I wish that they would repeat. Why has it, like so many other programs and films from various people, been forgotten about? There's nothing bad that I can think of about the program. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
If you like science fiction, then you will love Terrorhawks. It's the most sci-fi of the lot. It's full of humour and constantly takes the mickey out of itself.
Oh, it does, yes.
Yeah.
I'm interested by that. I haven't seen it since the early 80s.
Yes.
But I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 anyway.
Yeah. Thank goodness for rose-tinted speckies.
But, you know...
You can watch it on Blu-ray and ITVX.
Yeah.
Our YouTube channel, in fact.
Yeah.
For every ying, Jamie, there's a yang.
And those yangs are wrong.
Now, what I love about this next review is that it contains a spoiler.
Oh.
Subpar Anderson series, 4 out of 10. And the spoiler is this.
This is your review, I'm clear.
Let's be honest, Terrorhawks is a bit naff. Especially when compared to Gerry Anderson's earlier work. The 20-minute running time excludes any kind of character or plot development.
It's 25, isn't it? Yeah. So it contains inaccuracies as well as...
Maybe that's
no
a spoiler.
No kind of character development. Sistar got pregnant. And we still don't know who the father was. Yeah, and she produced...
The series was clearly made on a very low budget, but that shouldn't necessarily mean god-awful scripts of wooden acting which played Terrorhawks, which is at times painful to watch. Good for nostalgia value only.
Wooden acting... The Terrorhawks cast?
Don't shoot the messenger.
Denise Breyer.
Denise alone.
How dare you? That's criminal accusing Denise of anything other than stellar acting.
Yeah, fun, isn't
and you got Robbie with his stew and Windsor with Zero and
And the Doctor. I mean, Dr. Killjoy, amazing.
Yeah.
What's strange about that review is it contains a spoiler tag. Yeah, what's the spoiler? That it's awful. In this reviewer's
painful
opinion.
Painful to watch at times.
Yeah.
I mean, at times it can be painful to watch, I think, but in a good way.
Some of the early ones,
Yeah, you think. But now, we've decided that we're going to be watching Terrorhawks in a couple of weeks, so I think it's perhaps time for one of these.
Now, time for Fab Facts.
Oh.
Right, okay.
Ta-da! Now,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, we're going old school.
Yeah.
Gosh.
We've got the book of Fab Facts.
Amazing.
Yeah. But just to switch things up a bit, I thought Chris could read the Fab.
Oh, well, let's have a flick.
So we get to shout out Fab in unison.
Oh, God, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go on, Chris. Fab!
Oh, right. Okay.
Sorry, it came out louder than I expected.
Okay, so it didn't look okay.
It's very complicated.
Mm. Well,
Chris, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got, appropriate enough, a Thunderbirds related Fab Fact.
That book is so good to us.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great.
And it goes like this.
Yeah.
We all know there were 6 Thunderbird craft. 5 from the original TV series, and then Thunderbird 6 from the film with the same name, right?
Mm, I see.
Right.
Yes.
Wrong.
Oh.
What?
I can exclusively reveal that there is, in fact, a 7th Thunderbirds craft.
Okay.
TB7, but, and here's the catch, you won't see it in Thunderbirds.
Mm.
So take a look at this.
Oh, right. It's intriguing.
Glorious shot. Wonderful name.
Okay, that looks like Terrorhawks.
That is indeed... From Terrorhawks, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Did you miss it?
Why?
No, well, because it says here, did you miss it?
Oh, yes, but that happened so quickly.
Yes, I was excited.
You missed it, didn't you?
Oh, sorry, I was looking elsewhere.
Well, here it is again.
Oh!
But slower.
Oh, great, okay. Oh, so this is Thunderbird 7, you're saying?
Oh, this is a vehicle marked as TB7, yes.
Let's see if we can spot the TB7 somewhere behind the writing. Yes! No, it's on the...
It wasn't it?
No.
It's on the silver bit.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was at the front.
No.
Yes, well, that is from the opening of the Terrorhawks episode, Zero's Finest Hour. Which is the episode that we will be watching next time.
Amazing.
Oh. And if that brief glimpse was too brief...
It was pretty brief.
Yeah.
It was pretty brief.
Even when it slowed down.
Well, here are some other stills of TB7.
Okay.
This is it in the Overlander depot from the same episode.
There.
You can see gorgeous detailing on that. This is it by the roadside in a later episode. I can't remember what episode that is.
Ah.
And I believe it even turns up in Space Police. It's one of the Terra Hawks vehicles that gets reused around.
Nice.
It's not Demeter City in Space Police, is it? No.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice. Nice. Very nice, yes. Mm-hmm. So there we go. That's Thunderbird 7. Mm-hmm. I think either Terry Adlam or Steve Begg told us an interesting story about that once, but I can't remember what that was. So
is that interesting?
That's very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So we've seen examples on screen of inappropriate craft turning up in other series.
Yeah.
Most recently, the TARDIS turned up in Star Trek: Strange New Worlds.
It did.
But is this the only example of not only an Anderson vehicle turning up in another Anderson series, but said Anderson vehicle never appearing in the previous Anderson series in the first place?
Wait, what? It's what? Mm. yes.
Yes.
No, well, I don't know. I didn't really understand the question.
Well, you could be right, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. We all know that each Thunderbird's vehicle has a particular purpose, whether it be the heavy lifting of Thunderbird 2 or the subaquatic antics of Thunderbird 4, but Podstrons.
Or the pointlessness of Thunderbird 6.
The pointlessness of Thunderbird 6. Well, here's a vehicle that definitely is not pointless, but Podstrons. What do you think Thunderbird 7 here's purpose could be?
What does it say on the writing there? Inject relief. Oh, it's a massage vehicle then.
CH3CO gas valve.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do? Run someone over with it?
Yeah, I don't know what it does.
Well, no. We will never know.
Well, our Podsterons will inform us.
Great.
But there we go. Thunderbird 7 in Terrorhawks.
Amazing.
Yeah,
well,
very nice.
Thank you for this month's Fab Fact, Chris.
You're very welcome, Richard.
So do join us in a couple of weeks' time when Jamie, Chris and I will be sitting down to watch Zero's Finest Hour, an episode of everyone's favourite Gerry Anderson series, Terrorhawks.
It's one of my favourite episodes.
See you then. Bye.
Let's get started. Let's go.
Spectrum is green.
That was an Anderson Entertainment production.